Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word comes to us, as you just heard, from the third chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians, where he writes, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." This is God's word. Friends in Christ, each year a few thousand hopefuls run the Boston Marathon. The first place runner will typically complete the 26 miles in just under 2 hours and 10 minutes. That's running at a pace of a little over 5 minutes a mile. Those who are serious but not quite world-class runners will finish in about 3 hours. Those running just for the fun of it will finish in 6 hours or less. Because of injury, cramps, heat exhaustion, or failing to follow the proper course, a significant number will not finish the race. Others who quit before the finish claim to have come to their senses before it was too late. And unfortunately, the Boston Marathon has become a reminder that terror and disaster can strike when we least expect it. Maybe it's extra appropriate then that the Apostle Paul indicates that an athlete competing for a ribbon or a medal is a good metaphor for life in Christ, and that life is not a sprint. It's much more like a cross-country race or a marathon. Again, Paul writes, "Forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." The apostle is saying, keep on striving to exercise your faith in Jesus, no matter where you are at in the marathon of life. Where would you say that you're at in the race today? The first 10 miles of the race can be compared to our childhood and teenage and young adult years. At the beginning, the adrenaline is pumping, the crowd is cheering, some of those runners go out awfully fast. Others find it frustrating to be stuck in the pack until it starts to move apart gradually. Patience does not come easily when you are ready to go for it. You have the talent, you have the energy. Do you have a strategy? Are you tempted to cheat to get an advantage? Runners can make major mistakes when they are overconfident and fail to listen to good coaching. In the first 10 miles, we feel like we have got a lot to prove to everyone, especially ourselves. The second phase of the race, from 11 to 20 miles, is like our middle years. The early energy, the early adrenaline have burned off. Our primary obstacles are now boredom and fatigue. There aren't many spectators lining the street at this point. And it's right here in the race where you may begin to doubt things. You may begin to doubt your career, your calling, your marriage. The future doesn't look so great, and it's too late to turn around and go back and start over again. So what do you do? Quit? Take a shortcut? Keep plugging along? This is where the reality of the race sets in. Some find a good rhythm. Some struggle to put one foot in front of the other. And then the third and final phase of the race consists of the last 6 miles. It's said that because of the drain on your body's energy reserves after running the first 20 miles, it's like you've only run halfway. It takes as much or more courage to run the last 6 miles as it did the first 20. At about 20 miles in, Boston has something called Heartbreak Hill, which is pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? It's steep, and it's long, and it eliminates more runners than any other part of the race. This is the point at which many hit the proverbial wall. Some runners simply collapse while others manage to make it to a nearby curb before their muscles simply give way. It is heartbreaking to make it to the home stretch of life only to have to battle chronic pain or disease or disaster. It can be deeply disappointing to hit the wall after you've worked so hard to get to this point. You want to keep running the race of faith, but that curb over there looks awfully inviting. Now, what if I were to tell you that no matter where you are at on the race course today, I could guarantee that if you keep running, you will share in the winner's prize. Well, that's the glory of the gospel, the glory of the good news about Jesus, because that claim can be made. If you run the race of life, trusting that Jesus is already the champion over evil and sin and death, then he will share his victory with you. In today's epistle, Paul is talking about the confidence that comes from being a member of Christ's team. Listen again to what he writes, and bear in mind that he was most likely writing this while he was in prison. Paul says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them all rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes by faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead." Paul was given strength and courage and joy because he knew Jesus as his Savior and his champion. As he says here, the goal of his race was to be raised from the dead so that he could live with Jesus for eternity. And knowing that he would be with Christ in the future changed his present. It freed him up to run his race with excellence and with urgency and without any fear. Paul knew that the prize of eternal life with God was his already, because eternal life with God is never something that he could earn or achieve. Jesus had won it already, and Christ stood at the finish line with his trophy in hand, ready to share it with his servant. That same Savior and Lord beckons to you to run well, to run with grace, because your outcome is certain because it depends on him. And it's true. What we know our future to be, can actually change your present. Think of it this way. There were two men who were going to be doing the same job. It was a pretty awful, dirty jobs kind of task that nobody really wanted to do. 80 hours a week, backbreaking, really hard work, and they wouldn't get paid until the end of the year. And one of the men knew that he was going to be paid $15,000 for his troubles. The other knew that he was going to be paid $15 million. Same job, different wages. And the question is, how do you think knowing what they were going to make affected their work? The 15 grand man would probably complain, find ways to cut corners, and he probably would eventually just quit. The $15 million man, on the other hand, would probably whistle a happy tune as he drove to the job site each day. Because what you know your future to be actually changes your present. And here's what we know our future to be. Jesus went to the cross to pay off the immense cost of our sin. Jesus disarmed death by his return to life. Jesus did these things for you so that you will one day stand in a resurrected, perfected body in full relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on a day full of joy that will last forever. Believing in Jesus and his actions, this is what your future will be. $15 million could not redeem one soul for heaven, but the blood of Jesus does. And it does it for anyone who trusts in him. That is the prize you have already won in Christ. Wherever you are at on the race course of life today, press on toward the goal to win the prize, confident that Jesus already has all of the victory in hand. And so give your very best effort to the one who gave it all for you. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, you have called each of us heavenward through the innocent suffering and death and the mighty resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. And it is as if we already stand in the winner's circle with you. We've been baptized into that victory. And yet we are still on the race course. We're still running this race of life. Some of us are running with great strength and poise, and others are running with great burdens. It's hard for us to even put one foot in front of the other. Remind us, Lord, that our future is secure because it rests in you and your work. Keep our eyes of faith firmly fixed on the prize, on the goal line, because there at the finish, you stand with all of your love and power. Be our focal point, Jesus, today and every day that we run. Amen.